Chapter 1. The Christmas Present. "Yes," said the store clerk, "I make profits in different ways. Some customers are ignorant, so I am able to earn money from my special knowledge. Some are not honest," and here he held up the candle so that the light fell strongly on his visitor. "And in that case," he continued, "I profit because of my good morals." Markheim had just entered from outside, and his eyes had not yet adjusted to the dark lighting of the shop. Because of these direct words and the near presence of the flame, he blinked painfully and looked aside. The store clerk laughed. "You come to me on Christmas Day," he continued, "when you know that I am closed. I have closed my curtains and made a point of refusing customers. Well, you will have to pay for that. You will have to pay for my loss of time. I should be doing my accounting. I respect your private information and ask no uncomfortable questions. But when a customer cannot look me in the eye, he has to pay for it." The clerk laughed again, and then, changing to his usual business voice, "You can give, as usual, a clear account of how you came into the possession of the object," he continued. "Still from your uncle's house? He must be a remarkable collector." The pale little round-shouldered clerk stood as tall as he could, looking over the top of his gold glasses and nodding his head with a look of doubt. Markheim returned his gaze with one of pity. "This time," he said, "you are wrong. I have not come to sell, but to buy. I have nothing to sell. My uncle's house is bare. Even if I had more items, I should more likely add to it than otherwise. I have done well on the stock exchange, and my errand today is simple," he continued with a smile. "I seek a Christmas present for a lady. I certainly owe you every excuse for disturbing you upon so small a matter, but the thing was neglected yesterday. I must produce my little gift at dinner, and, as you very well know, a rich marriage is not a thing to be neglected." There followed a pause, during which the clerk seemed to weigh this statement carefully. The ticking of many clocks in the shop and the faint sound of cars outside filled up the short period of silence. "Well, sir," said the clerk, "be it so. You are an old customer after all. And if, as you say, you have the chance of a good marriage, I do not want to be in your way. Here is a nice thing for a lady, this hand glass." He went on, "It is from the 15th century. It comes from a good collection, too. But I reserve the name in the interests of my customer. Just like yourself, my dear sir, he is the nephew and only heir of a remarkable collector." As the clerk went on in his dry, sharp voice, he bent down to take the object from its place. And, as he did so, a shock passed through Markheim. It affected both his hands and feet, and his face changed with the many emotions he was feeling. It passed as quickly as it came, and left no trace beyond a slight shaking of the hand that received the glass. "A glass," he said in a low, rough voice. Then he paused and repeated it more clearly. "A glass? For Christmas? Surely not." "And why not?" cried the clerk. "Why not a glass?" Markheim looked at him with an indefinable expression. "You ask me why not?" he said. "Why, look here. Look in it and look at yourself. Do you like what you see? No, nor does any man." The little man jumped back when Markheim so suddenly confronted him with the mirror. But then, seeing that there was nothing worse on hand, he laughed. "Your future lady, sir, must be pretty hard to look at," said the clerk. "I ask you," said Markheim, "for a Christmas present, and you give me this damned reminder of years? It would only make someone feel shame. Did you mean it? What were you thinking? Tell me. It will be better for you if you do. Come, tell me about yourself. I think you are, in secret, a very kind man." The clerk looked closely at his companion. It was very odd. Markheim did not appear to be laughing. There was a slight expression of hope in Markheim's face, but no amusement. "What are you saying?" the clerk asked. "You are not kind," returned the other sadly. "You are not honest, moral, or feeling. You only want to earn money and keep it for yourself. Is that all? Dear God, man, is that all?" "I will tell you what it is," said the clerk. He began with a cold tone in his voice, and then broke off again into a laugh. "But I see this is a love match of yours, and you are very keen on this lady." "Ah!" cried Markheim with a strange curiosity. "Ah, have you been in love? Tell me about that." "I?" cried the clerk. "I in love? I have never had the time, nor do I have the time now for all this nonsense. Will you take the glass?" "Where is the hurry?" returned Markheim. "I enjoy standing here talking to you, and life is so short that I do not want to hurry away from any pleasures, even from small pleasures like this. We should hold on to what little we can get. Therefore, it is best to talk pleasantly. Let us talk to each other. Why should we wear these masks? Let us talk personally. Who knows? We might even become friends." "I have just one word to say to you," said the clerk. "Either make your purchase or walk out of my shop." "True, true," said Markheim. "Enough fooling. To business. Show me something else."